Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Proverbs chapter 3, if you turn there while you're sitting down. Proverbs in chapter 3, I've got a little theme that I'm going to follow this morning, tonight, next Sunday morning, next Sunday night. Tonight out of Proverbs, this morning out of Proverbs, next Sunday morning out of Job. And it's a theme that I believe that God would have me to preach and kind of plant on and kind of build upon over the next couple weeks. This morning is 6 points. Tonight is 6 points. Next Sunday morning and next Sunday night, I'm preaching the entire book of Job. And there are people, we need understanding about life. All of us. And I trust this morning God will get a hold of your heart. Proverbs chapter 3, we'll read it in just a moment. I want to say first of all that every man dies, but every man doesn't live. There are people that, even born again people, that have no idea what life is about. Some are immature and think it's about getting things. Others are a little older in life and they're realizing little by little, as things slip through their fingers, a lot of the things they really cared about really wasn't worth it. Hence the book of Job. Going to preach that next Sunday. Right now, in the book of Proverbs, Solomon is speaking to his son Rehoboam. And he's given to him instruction, and I trust today that all of us will heed the word of God. Chapter 3, I've preached some of chapter 3 before, and I recognize that, but I trust this morning God will. The older I get, the more I understand that life is short. The older I get, the more I understand I'm expendable. The older I get, the more determined I am to do more for God. The older I get, the harder I work. But a lot of people come to a point in life where they realize something's missing. Now, for the unsaved, it's Christ. For the saved, it's you, for some reason, drank out of a poison well, and you're just trying to get things out of life. And it might be that you're missing the most important thing of all. And I guess I would say this morning, hear the word of God, and get it. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. From the dust thou wast formed, to the dust thou shalt be returned. Made from the dust, returned to the dust. And too many of us, this preacher included, we follow shiny objects instead of the word of God. For some, they think they're here to... It's not about having a statue made of you after you die. It's not about a monument. People sing songs about you. That's not what life's about. So it really isn't about getting all you can and canning all you get. Hear the word of God this morning. There are things that are far more important. Proverbs 22:1. Let's start with that. Everybody turn over to this 22nd chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs 22 and verse 1. Because mom and dad have followed shiny objects, junior will follow shiny objects, and sis, you'll follow shiny objects, and it's generational. It just goes on and on and on. Glad you got saved, glad you got born again, but you're wasting your life. Those of you that aren't born again, if you're here and you're not saved, you need Christ. Three people were saved here last Sunday morning. Two people got baptized last Sunday night. Glory to God. There are people saved Wednesday night. There are people saved outside of these church walls during the week last week, because people are involved in the harvest. There are things that are more important than the trinkets of this life. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver or gold. So there are things that are more important than the riches of this world. And you can deceive yourself and say you're using those riches for God, but really, are you? You know what? If the heart stopped right now, bang, it's gone. What happens to the riches? What are you doing for God? Proverbs chapter 3, let's go back there very quickly. While you're turning there, Pastor Josh read John 10:10. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. There is an abundant life. There is a life that is above and beyond, overwhelming and over the top. Live under the spout where the glory comes out. There is a life that is extra blessed that you can live. There is a life that is extraordinary that you can live. Solomon, wisest man on earth, by way of inspiration, instructs his son. There are 12 things that I see that I have found for me in chapter 3. And you could actually find more. You could divide it up a little bit different. I want to preach 6 of them this morning, 6 of them tonight. And it's really how to get the most out of life. That's a shallow title. That's not really it. Living the dream, that's shallow. I thought of all these things this week. How to live the glory life, the hallelujah road. It all just seems so shallow because right away we have word pictures in our mind that really is about shining objects and not about serving God. Look at it says, verse 1, chapter 3, my son, he's talking to Rehoboam, talking to you and to me, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Length of days, long life. Man, I want that. He says specifically in verses 1 and verse 2, obey the Bible. Hold to the word of God. You cannot go wrong following the scriptures. You can go wrong following your heart. You can go wrong following a preacher. You can go wrong following a philosophy. How about this? You can go wrong following a commercial on TV, a line on the internet. That's not a line. What do they call those? A stream. Yeah, whatever it is you call it, all right? You can go wrong doing that, but you'll never go wrong following the Word of God. It's a truth. It's reality. And I need to ask you this here this morning. Are you teaching the next generation and your children and your coworkers, your peers, and those, and even those that are above you, are you teaching them that the Bible is of the utmost importance in your life? The authority of the Bible, the primacy of the church, the preeminency of Christ, the importance of winning the lost, those are just so important. Those are the big things of life. Everything else, that's fringe. I truly can break it down that way. That's peripheral. Jesus came for one purpose, to seek and to save the lost. The church is here for one purpose, to be a light, to reach this generation, this dispensation of time that has been committed unto us. That's really what it's about. So Solomon says to his son, my son, forget not the law, my law. Forget not the word of God. Don't leave God out of your life. The Bible is of the utmost importance. It's the authority of the scriptures. We need it in our life. We've got to have it. If we don't have it, everything else is going to end up on a rabbit trail and end up in a dead-end road. Verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck and write them upon the table of thine heart. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. He says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Mercy without truth is froth. Truth, Bible. Bible truth. With that truth, don't become the Pharisee. Don't become holier than thou. Don't be that person that knows no mercy. That is wrong. He says, Rehoboam, you need to practice truth in your life and you need to practice mercy in your life. If you practice truth without mercy, you are a Pharisee. You are holier than thou. You will never win anybody to Christ. So you make sure you got the truth and you practice with that truth, you practice mercy. You've got to be a forgiving person. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the merciful. That's the Christian life. That's living the life that holds to the truth, holds high the banner of the Word of God, and yet is merciful. Not compromising, but merciful to those that are weak or those that stumble and those that have difficulty in life. Look at Psalm 23, the great 23rd Psalm. Turn over there quickly, quickly, quickly. There's a great thought here. I'm just going to read one verse. Psalm 23 and verse 6. If you stand right and you stand compassionate, the righteousness of Christ will shine through your life. People will get saved. People will get born again. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'm going to try not to be afraid to go on a rabbit trail here, because in my mind I was thinking I could get through these 6 points. I really don't. I could do some summarizing tonight, all right? So if I get through 2 or 3 points, it isn't going to bother you, is it? I didn't think it would. You know, you won't get out any earlier, but that I'm going to try to do that, all right? We all want goodness and mercy. Now, I did some word studies on this. Do not mistake goodness for pleasure. Don't do that. By the way, the one that has goodness and mercy following him or her is the one that follows the shepherd in verse 3. The follower of Christ. The one who is shepherded by Jesus Christ. They following them in their life is goodness and mercy. Man, I want that. All the days of my life. The days make up a lifetime. All the days of my life, I want goodness and mercy. Again, goodness is not self-pleasure. It's the favor of God. It's not appeasing my flesh. Don't be thinking, well, chocolate malt, that's goodness. You know, don't be thinking that's something that appeases the flesh. But in your life, you want goodness and mercy. I'll say it from the pulpit, this preacher depends on mercy. I have the mercy of God, and I lean on it. I lean on it. Even when I'm doing everything right, I still fail God. In my prayer time in the morning, sometimes I get to the end of my prayer time, and I don't remember what I prayed. Sometimes I find myself praying repetitiously in my prayer time. Even when I'm trying to do good, sometimes I fail God. I need God's mercy. I'm glad he's not that kind of prayer. I'm glad he's the advocate that is just and right and is merciful and is full of grace and truth. I'm glad for that. But the truth is, man, I need the goodness of God to follow Tim Rader. I need the mercy of God to follow Tim Rader. And the psalmist, the warrior psalmist of Psalm 23, King David said, you follow the shepherd and goodness and mercy will be with you every day of your life. Man, that's what I want. Now let's go back to Proverbs, talking about living this life and making it count. Remember the long haul. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. The day will come. The day will come when this preacher or that preacher will do your funeral. Well, there's some people younger than these guys too, so maybe somebody else. I or someone else will stand at your casket and say those words. From the dust thou wast formed, and to the dust thou shalt be returned. And what will your life have been? Make a lot of money and have somebody build a statue? Even statues corrode. People forget. They're gone. You know, life goes on. People are busy. So how about something that's eternal? He says, obey the Bible. He said, son, practice mercy. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Have faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, that which is without faith. Let's go to Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Someone help me out. How does it start out? I got to get started. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. All right? So he says, have some faith. Trust in the Lord. Trust God implicitly. Now, understand this. Trust your God. If you're a 10-year-old, love mom and dad and honor them and obey them and honor them and obey them and honor them and obey them. But trust God. walk with God. If you're a young adult and you're discovering right now, man, this is tough. Trust God. Have some faith. Don't leave God out of your life. Even as a Christian, don't leave God out of your life. How many of us, we pray about decisions? How many of us really consult God and ask Him to lead in our lives? Or how many of us just do what we want to do? And then, God bless me. God bless me. Oh, God, help me. God, help me. You know, trust God. Practice some faith. Very, very important. You haven't arrived. You know, you're not in heaven yet. I said that about a month ago, didn't I? You're not in heaven yet. You didn't come through the pearly gates this morning when you entered this church building, and this isn't the sweet angel Gabriel. You are not in heaven. You still have trouble. I still have trouble. You have not arrived. You don't know everything. Here's my problem now. You know, I was looking forward to getting to this part of my ministry when I was old and had a lot of scripture committed to memory, and I know what the great doctrines of the Word of God are, and I can even answer some tough questions, and, you know, I can lead people back to God and try to handle most situations. But now I'm at this point in my life, now I'm starting to forget what I used to know. And it's really a terrible part of my ministry right now. Hebrews 11:6, there you go. That, you know, how did that verse, I used to know that verse, right? So I've got to trust God. You never arrive when you're here in this world. You never reach that plateau where I don't need to read my Bible no more. I don't need to pray anymore. Man, you are in for a big, bad, blunderous fall. I promise you, that is what's going to happen if God doesn't take you home first. Man, dude, don't leave God out of your life. Practice faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He's saying to his son, here's what a father says to his son. He says, get a hold of the Bible and Bible promises and live the scripture. He said, son, practice mercy, practice truth. Don't get away from that. Have a little bit of faith. Trust God implicitly. Look at verses 9 and 10. Verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And depart from evil. Forsake the evil. Turn from wickedness. And it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Beautiful picture. Beautiful word picture. He says to his son, this is the king, says to the next king, Rehoboam, don't forget to tithe. Don't forget to honor God with your first fruits. You say, that's so elemental, that's so basic. Solomon said to Rehoboam, don't forget, son. Because we are inherently selfish and sometimes greedy. And it won't be long. And we'll be not like the guy who's following God, who God blesses and his barns are full, but like the rich fool in the New Testament whose barns are full. But he left God out of his life. And God took him home. Bang. And left it all behind. All of it. Ashes to ashes. Dust to dust. I would say to the church people here this morning, don't forget to leave God the tithe of whatever's in your will. I don't know if I've ever preached that. I think I maybe have one time, but you know what? Time goes by, you don't set it up in your will, and it's not there. I'm just saying. Give God the first fruits. Said, you're meddling. Well, I'm just reading the Bible. I'm really not. All I am is the waiter. I'm just bringing it to your table is all I'm doing. I didn't write the Bible. It's honor God with your first fruits. And I would tell you, if you're not tithing, you are not as far ahead as what you would have been had you tithed. You're going to suffer. It's not always measured in dollars and cents. I'm not saying that. Don't think, oh, I was after money. That's not it at all. That's not it at all. It says here, if you read the scripture again, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. I give God his 10%. I don't rob him. I give over and above. It's just the beginning. Honor God. He says, son, honor God. There's another thing in these two verses. Verse 7 says, be not wise in thine own eyes. I left this out and I wanted to make a big deal about this. He says, son, be humble. Don't think you know everything. That's why God gave us a book made up of 66 books, and it covers all of life. It covers it all. It covers every problem. It's all right here in the Word of God. It's all right here for you and I to learn, because we don't know everything. And sometimes we forget what we once knew, and you just honor God. Be humble. Know the truth. Practice mercy. Put God first. Honor Him with a tithe. Hold to the Scriptures. Have some faith. By the way, sometimes what we call faith isn't faith, because we had a fallback plan. Practice faith. Trust God implicitly. There's other things I probably could say here right now, but I'm not going to go any further into this text because I've only got about 4 minutes left here. Our life is not about building an empire. It's not about being popular. It's not about having our name in lights. It's not about striving to live in such a way that people will say, what a great man. Oh, what a great woman. There's a leader in our society. Man, that's not what it's about. It's about honoring God. And when it comes to the place at the end of your life, when I stand at the head of your casket or you stand at the head of my casket and say, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Don and Janet went home to be with the Lord. Was it a month ago? A month and a half ago? Some of us already forgot about them. That's going to happen to you. You say, oh, everybody loves me. Yeah, we love Don and Janet. And they're in heaven. Glory to God. And we miss them. And I miss them in all that they did around here. But the truth is, out of sight, out of mind. But when you honor God, you're making your life count for things that will last for eternity. And there are rewards in heaven. Not salvation. Salvation is not a reward. That's a gift. But there are rewards. And we'll be rewarded accordingly. There's a great day coming. But your life right now has got to live for God. This message this morning is a little bit choppy. I know it when I'm preaching it, all right? A little bit choppy. Might be a little hard to follow. Tonight I'm going to try to clean it up. I'm not going to re-preach it. I'm going to try to clean it up with the final 6 points. Next Sunday morning, the book of Job. Whole book of Job. Is it 42 chapters? See, I'm forgetting already. I think it's 42 chapters. I'm not going to cover 21 chapters in the morning service and 21 in the evening. I'm going to do a lot of summarizing, but I'm going to give you the book of Job. And God taught Job a great lesson.
We have a fine K-12 academy here on the campus of Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. It is highly academic and Christ-centered. If you have a child or even a grandchild, we invite you to check us out at fbconline.net. Maybe you would like scholarship, a needy student. So please contact us at 906-495-5200. The website is fbconline.net. You can help us reach the next generation by training champions for Christ.